Hello, dumpers, and welcome to another episode of Voicemail Dump Truck. I am your irregular host, Jeff Grubb. Your regular host, Jeff Bacalar, is feeling irregular, apparently.
you were on the way. I didn't know if that was an accident or if that was intentional. And yes,
we got there. We got there. Don't worry. Yeah. It might have all happened. I might have built the plane in the air there, Dan, but we got there. Don't worry.
He's pooping a lot.
He is pooping irregular fashion.
Yes.
Yes.
I need details.
He was okay. So we were like, I was streaming our Zet, and we're, I'm getting, all right, hey, voicemail dump truck later today. Bacalar's hosting. I gotta stream it because Jan's out and I'll handle it. That's fine. And then suddenly he's like, I got Dan to replace me. And we're like, what's going on? He's like, something is wrong. And then he just starts like, I ate lunch is his explanation for what is wrong. And then we all kind of put two and two together there. But that's as much as I know.
Oh, I didn't need to put two and two together. He got graphic with me, but I'll leave
okay,
that
to the... Okay, that's what I'm saying. Did he give you more details?
Oh, what's up? I know the catalyst, but, you know, he's a private man. So, you know, I'm not going to assume he wants people to know all his pooping. Assuming,
yeah.
The show's called Dump Truck. I say lean into it. Let's just do
that
it.
That is true.
Yeah, absolutely. He's feeling under the weather. So I'll be hosting. And then Jan is out today. I hope he's having a good time taking some time to R&R and all that. But I'm Jeff Grubb. I'm your host. Dan Reichert's here. Joining us, our special guest, Ben Hansen. Ben, how are you doing?
Hey, really well. Thanks for having me.
And Haley McLean, right? Is that how I say the name?
McLean, but don't worry, Ben said McLean for 5 years, Ben.
It feels like it should be McLean. But here's the part that's wild. Here's how you can remember it. Because it's spelled McLean, pronounced. That's exactly it. And here's the thing, Dan. And correct me if I'm wrong, Haley, but her grandpa's name is John McLean. She said it's never come up. No one's ever mentioned it to
him. That's impossible.
That's bizarre.
That's impossible.
He said, I don't know if my family's seen Die Hard.
But hey, going around town and stuff, or when you have to fill out your name at the bank or something, it's like, oh, what's your name? So John McClane. There's no way 75% of people in his life don't say, oh, Die Hard, yippee-ki-yay. Maybe they're just saying yippee-ki-yay and he hasn't seen the movie, so he doesn't know the reference.
Yeah, that's right. Almost certainly his what has
whole
happened,
life.
Right?
His whole life, he's like, why do people say this to me? He's never realized that's probably
like
what it
was. In like the 50s, probably not, but like, you know, because there wasn't a Die Hard, but you're thinking it's
when he was a newborn
years.
Baby, they still were saying it. The movie just happened to come out later.
But the thing is, hey, like, you know, I wish your grandfather will live to be 300, but is there something also weird about being an old man shuffling around town and have people go, Die Hard, just like yelling it at you? It's not a good look.
Especially
you know?
When you get up there and he wouldn't know the movie. I think it's a threat at that point.
It's not healthy.
No, I think old people could appreciate Die Hard.
Sure.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah. I think violence, like, I remember when I saw The Rock and I wouldn't fucking shut up about it ever.
Right.
And I made my grandparents go see it and they were just like, we didn't much care for it. It was too violent. But I was like, yeah, but the story, what about the story of General Francis X. Hummel and the drama? And they were just like, it was too violent.
Yeah, I think John McClane's violence might be more justified. And if it's just violence, I think old people are like, yeah, that's American. I'm all for that.
Wait, are you saying the mission to Alcatraz to free the hostages wasn't just?
I think that's muddied, right? Because you just mentioned like the villain.
Well, Francis Hummel, he was he thought he was doing what was right, but he was trying to send VX nerve gas to San Francisco. And you can't justify that.
I'm saying old people like the villains are the U.S. military. That doesn't sound right.
A rogue cadre of the U.S. military.
That sounds right.
As a cadre. Hey, what's a cadre? Like if you had to define it separate from a group.
As I said it, I was not confident I was using it correctly.
Hell yeah. Fantastic. Let me look my favorite up. Way to use words. Oh, hey, Ben, Haley, how's it going over there at MinMax?
Good. Yeah, it's really, really good. We're obsessed with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth in a big way. We have our big game club discussions that we call the Deepest Dive. And so we're breaking that game up into five chunks and talking about it on a weekly basis. And the first episode covered Cloud's past, which like just a section from the demo. So that's like an hour and a half. But we talked about it for over 3 hours. And I know it sounds absurd, but it is really fun because we like collect comments from the entire MinMax community. So we have hundreds and hundreds of like smart comments to read to help fuel the discussion. So it is an elaborate process, but we're off to a strong start over there. And we're going to be so sick of this game by the end of the month. But
you talk about people not wanting spoilers. The last couple weeks has been a real exercise. And like Hansen coming over and trying to like look at the floor because like Final Fantasy might be on screens here. And like, I don't even want to know if you like it. I don't want to know anything. Everything's a spoiler. It's like, I wanted to be like, Ben, I'm liking it a lot.
I don't. I know.
That
I
should be a good thing.
I wanted to go in especially just cold and blind to our first discussion because I know it's so dorky, but I think it helps for like the Min-Max show is what I was saving myself for there for that discussion because I think it's fun to like talk to somebody like Jacob Geller who has finished the game and to have my first reaction be on the podcast when, you know, Final Fantasy VII is my favorite game ever. So to have him be like, I finished it and it's awesome, or I am kind of mixed on it. Like, I think that's more fun than knowing what other people are thinking about it. But you're right, I was a maniac and I felt so rude because like you'd go to the bathroom and I felt rude because I was talking to like, you know, Bonk about it and she's like so desperate to talk about it and I was like, I'm sorry, I know I'm being a dick, but I don't even want to know what hour count you're at. I don't want to know what you think about it.
You have a good reason though, like you are putting on a show and you're like saving yourself for the virgin discussion. I get that.
It's for content at the end of the day.
Listen, we'll do anything for content if we were performers here. But like the normal people who are like that, I do them like, you're a friggin' dork.
Yeah. Get over it. The discussion was definitely virginal.
Like when you see the like... when you see the like Metacritic or like the like every time a game comes out and you see like, oh, Game Informer gives it this, they give it this, the Eurogamer gives it this, are you able to avoid just like the general score or vibe of it?
People are like, when we recorded that podcast, that wasn't out yet. And initial take, I was going in completely blind and stuff. But
okay, cool.
So yeah, it's a lot of Rebirth discussion. And then Haley is heading up our Thirst Council show, which is also dominating all things Min-Max.
Really good idea.
Yeah. How did that start, Haley? Where did that abomination come from?
Sarah Pazorsky messaged me one late Saturday night and said, I want to talk to you about video game crushes. I said, all right. So we talked about it on one of our side podcast, Bonus Pod, and the community Discord lit up on fire with GIFs of crushes and everything was on fire. So we're like, let's do a show about this. And now it's on week three and I don't think anything can stop it at this point, Ben. We've been chucking stuff at it to see and the community just wants more and more of it.
We tried to do a podcast with Mike Minotti and we did like we have community input and one time we did do like best waifus and it got so off the rails that now that is like a conversation we can never touch again. It got too out of hand. People got too in their feelings. It was a mess. So I'm impressed and proud that you guys are able to keep it on the rails. Or maybe you're not and you're just embracing it, which is even better.
It's a rickety Donkey Kong country rail.
It is rough. But I'm glad you all are heading it up because I hosted the first episode and I was like, this is not my tempo. I wore a mask in shame. And now that like Sarah Pazorsky's on and she's like, panting when looking at Link, I'm like, okay, this is a tone I cannot hit for content, but I will let the women take it away, please.
We'll bark at Link at Twilight Princess. Exactly. Link.
Of course.
I feel like Hanson and I are frequently bewildered in our conversations about just the overwhelming horniness towards video game characters. Is this ironic or are people actually horny about this?
Like, okay, then what are the video game characters that you are legitimately the most horny for?
What does that mean?
What does it mean? Well, here. Okay, I guess my answer would be when Tomb Raider, the first one came out, I did the thing where you try to, the camera, if you're up against the wall and you turn it a certain way, you can see the boobs. And when you're 12, sure, great.
Yep.
And then I do remember, again, around the age of 12 or 13, Anna Williams in Tekken.
Oh, she came up.
Sure. Yeah, the red dress and the kind of fishnetty thing going on and all that. And I remember thinking like, whoa, hey, what's going on here? But post that, I don't think I've ever had a thought. I mean, I'm not judging at all.
This guy's a prude. Get him.
I've never seen a video game character post that age and thought like, ooga, you know?
Yeah.
I was going to say, we had to be careful because we were doing childhood crushes. And then we're like, oh, these aren't our childhood crushes. So we can't really judge. Some of them were children. So we had to just slot them in child jail. And they were not. Yes.
Yes. Your Tomb Raider story reminded me of like a very embarrassing horniness thing where I was like, I got a calendar of Lara Croft. Someone must have gifted it to me. And in some sort of a horny stupor, I think I tried to like erase her shirt and draw the naked chest. And I like a couple years ago I found that thing and I was like, oh my god, how was I not beaten senseless as a child? But yeah,
you know, I guess the closest I got was, you know, I was a big video game magazine guy and I look through them all the time still now and I'm reminded of like big game ads were horny as hell in the 90s.
Yeah,
so like, but it would be like images, like pictures. Like, I remember the one that I was big on back then was the Saturn. In case you didn't notice, there's a beautiful naked woman on this page, but you were probably looking at the Saturn screenshots. Like, that one I was big on as a teenager. And then there was just lots big of just on. Like, you know, I mean, I looked at a lot as a pubescent boy. But so, yes, there has been an intertwining of games and horniness. The Game Boy camera that I used to take pictures of my friend's Hustler, of course. So I guess I was looking at a Game Boy while horny. Yes. So
yeah, those are pixels.
Yeah.
That is your video game crush is a pixelated version of somebody in a Hustler spread.
My friend Ryan's from Hustler.
Yeah. This is where we go out on the limb. That's dangerous territory. And I want to be very clear. I love that Thirst Council's going strong over there at Min-Max, and the community is eating it up in such a fun way. And it's so funny to watch. However, I feel like the internet is, it's all an elaborate prank at times for how horny everybody is for video game characters.
Hanson, weren't we that way with the tall lady from Resident Evil, where it's like, that was maybe prime, like people are freaking out about this. And I think you and I were probably like, is this a meme or are people actually horny?
It's both. Yeah.
It's people, I guess, like,
they're horny and they're couching their horniness in, oh, this is a joke, right? But they're joking about it because they actually feel that way. It's both.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Teach their own, you know?
And this is the thing. I mean, I feel like I'm somebody who crushes easily, you know, like, but in the real world.
You're like
ideal fodder for Lady Dimitrescu.
Oh, damn it. I walked right into that one. But yeah, I'm totally with you, Dan, where it's like, I guess I thought Tron Bond was kind of cute back when I played Mega Man Legends when I was 13. And then since then, it's like, I don't know. I don't really think about it.
But there's no way to say that without sounding judgy. So I always have to couch it with like, I don't care what makes you horny. Get into it. That's fine. Go to town. My brain doesn't work that way.
What we're both trying to figure out, I'm not asking anybody in this podcast to explain it, but my question is always just like, how horny are we talking? look.
It depends on the crush. Yeah.
Okay. If it's just like, oh, that's a cute person on my TV screen, or if it's like, I need to sit down right now, level. Like, that's the part that I don't quite understand.
So horny, you need to sit.
Yeah, right.
So horny, I need to lie down. Yeah. just get my fainting couch. Yeah.
It's confusing.
It's confusing, and we're all trying to figure it out. We're all working through it together, and I'm sure there's some answers if we dig deep enough, but let's just be American about it instead and ignore it and just let it all be there.
Smart.
Real quick, before we get into the voicemails, what's the X stand for, Dan, in Francis X Hummel?
Is it Xavier?
It's got to be. What other X name could it possibly be?
Xylophone.
Brigadier
General Francis Xavier. Francis Xavier Hummel. Yes. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Brigadier General. Know. Yes. Yes, of course.
This is a call-in show, as you can obviously tell by what we've done so far on this program. What we do is people call in 707-EXIT-FLU. I'm doing this on the fly here. I can't remember. I think that's the number. 707-EXIT-FLU. People call in. They leave a voicemail. They ask for advice. They don't get that in return. They do get something, though. They get our attempts at humor, usually. I am going to bring up the voicemails right now. We'll hop into it. Haley, you have the list in front of you. You want to pick the first voicemail?
Oh, let's start with Chuck E. Cheese.
Dangerous.
Hey, Dump Truck, round two. When I was 18, back in 2015, I took a girl to Chuck E. Cheese. That was our first date. Now it's 2024. About 2 years ago, we just got married. This girl has been with me for all these years, and we're expecting our first kid in a few months. That being said, I want to keep this nice and short. What's the weirdest date you've ever been on?
Oh, boy.
Keep dumping. Later.
We will keep dumping. Backlash doing it right now for you. I thought that was going in the direction of we are going to name our child Chuck Entertainment. And then whatever their last name is.
That would be good.
Yeah. Which
at least middle name
do.
Entertainment.
Yes. they should still do that. Weirdest date.
This is tricky.
All my dates were like dive bars.
Yeah.
That's not weird.
Yeah, but just tell us a good date story, Dan. Give us a good legend.
I
remember I took a girl once to, it was like a girl I met on OKCupid, and there was like an indie wrestling show in St. Paul that night. And I was like, this would be interesting because that would be a good measure of compatibility is if they're into it or at least accepting of the fact that I'm into wrestling, you know? And
yeah.
I took her and she did not enjoy it.
Dan, this is something that you've mentioned before, like you kind of like putting not the worst foot forward, but putting the honest foot forward. How often do you like? How important is that to you that they like kind of understand it pretty quickly what you're about?
That's the thing. That's how I always was when I was dating, was that like, what is the point? And like, you know, you always hear people talk about when they're going on dates and they had to present this version of themselves and be like, it's like, well, no, then what's the point? Because then at some point, what best case scenario, you get into a relationship with this person and then they see like a different side of you because you were putting up like a false, you know, thing at the beginning. It's like, so my approach is always like, I like shitty bars. I like wrestling. I like video games. This is me, you know, and like, cause then if they, you know, like that, then it's like, okay, that's me, you know, you don't have to like grapple with it later on. So I don't know. That's my approach to it.
That sure makes sense.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think of like, if I have any like weird dates though, it really is kind of standard stuff. It's like such a risk when you go out on a date that you want to sort of not take too many chances, I find.
Maybe
it's a bad way to approach it.
Right, yeah. Right. You don't want to be stuck somewhere. Yeah, I was trying to think. I remember I was dating this lady, and it was a pretty early date where we played Ticket to Ride, the board game, just like two-player, which it took like 7 hours. It was way too long. But then it was like the next date, we went on like a walking tour of the history of railroads in downtown Minneapolis. And it's really sick. And there was like something else, like we watched some movie about trains. And so she was just convinced that I was obsessed with trains.
Were you
and
picking all of this?
What's that?
Were you picking all of the
I think
activities?
So, but it wasn't consciously thinking about it. And it was one of those things where she's like, well, clearly you're a big train guy getting into Dan's theme for presenting who you really are early. And I was like, oh no, that was just a coincidence. Like, I guess trains are fine, but I'm not like, I don't have like a weird train set in my basement. Come over, check it out. Put on this cap. I guess you can.
It doesn't work for me unless you're wearing the cap.
Please. I don't know.
That's like such a thing where it's like, I don't know if I would be able to put a date together and not like notice the themes. Like, how does that happen? Like,
because in my mind, the theme is history and the theme is board games. You
okay,
know, whereas
sure.
I guess like, oh, there is clearly a running theme here. But I remember like my favorite first date ever. Some people will say this is sketchy, but I thought it was delightful. Where she worked for The Knot, like that wedding planning site or whatever. And so it's just like a very weird first date of like, okay, let's just plan a wedding this entire dinner. And just like walk through.
Ben, you have a weird date,
by the way. Yeah,
that is
you haven't answered this question.
No, but it was really fun because I was like, okay, look, I'm not wildly cheap, but I'm pretty cheap. So like, let me design what would be an acceptable wedding, but just as cheap as possible. And she knew weddings and wedding planning like backwards and forwards. So it was just a really fun, like, it's not often on a first date you have like a project. It felt like a group project. Like, all right, every step of the wedding, let's plan it. Not specifically as if it's ours, I'm not some weirdo, but just the idea of like, okay, for food, what would be the cheapest food? I think walking tacos, like Doritos in a bag type thing. That's, I think, going to be the best
we
can get away with.
We had tacos at our wedding, but not walking tacos. That would have been even better.
And it would have been like $40, you know, for everything. Uh-huh. So it's nice to have a project on a first date. I recommend it.
But were you thinking the whole time, like, let me double check her eyes and make sure she's not thinking this is happening next week, you know?
I think I was laughing
enough.
Is that
like the eye craziness level? Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Like, she starts making the plans on her phone when you confirm certain things, yeah.
And we've been happily married for 2 years. No. that didn't last long.
Anyone else have any funky dates?
No, I'm boring. I dated my first partner for 7 years and then went on 2-something dates and then found my next partner that I'm still with now. My friends got mad at me because it was like, Haley's single. They were so excited. They were taking me out downtown and stuff. And then I was like, I found someone I really like. And they're like, no.
Boo.
But now they love him. But you know what I mean? Like, there was the very first date I went on after I broke up with my first like high school sweetheart of 7 years. I got stood up down and I was downtown. I got, my parents had paid for a new outfit. My mom took me shopping. She's very excited that I was feeling better. She got my hair done and she took me shopping and I went downtown and he just never responded. And I was like, oh no. But what was fun was another person was like, I was on Tinder at the time. And someone else was like, I'm downtown and I'm here for 2 days. Like, I'm just trying to see the city. What's up? And I was like, I'll show you around the city. And I ended up having a really good time with that guy. So it was kind of, it ended up being a positive thing.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Ben, why don't you pick the next voicemail? Excuse me.
I will do that. I'm kind of curious about too many to pull off.
Let's do it.
Hey, Dumpers. I'm sitting outside of my local coffee shop where I got a piece of double chocolate pound cake. I'm about to enjoy it here, and a big chunk of the icing fell off and tumbled beneath the driver's seat. What I wanted to ask you before I go pick it up, how many dog hairs is too many to pull off? Before I eat it, of course, not the dog hairs. Goodbye.
Like three.
Like one.
Three. I was thinking three.
Like if it is just clearly that you've inspected it and there is just one or two and no sneaky hidden ones or anything, I think you could extract those and still have an okay time.
Would you? Yeah. So maybe three and then blow on it really hard just to double check.
That's for the dust.
See if you see any other movement. Yeah, because that's what I'm worried about, the margin of error, where it's like, if there's one, there's a chance there is just one. If there's three, I'm starting to think I'm missing something. I'm not seeing everything.
I mean, like most people, I don't like it when I see there is hair in my food or something. But I've had times where it's like, you know, food will come to me at a restaurant. There will be a hair in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't say anything. Me neither. I don't want it there, but I also, like, some people act like, you know, somebody just, you know, shit on their plate, you know?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Is there a health hazard to eating like a hair or two? Really
hair can contain
me.
Diseases and stuff like that, but probably not that much more than anything else. It's fine. I just take the hair out and I eat it now. If it's one, if it starts to be like several, then maybe I start to, well, I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I'll just move on and won't eat this and I'll just go somewhere else to get food. But I would probably be like, I'm just going to eat this.
Have you seen?
I did that the other day. In fact, there was one hair in my food and I just got it out and went on with my life and ate it. It was fine.
Yeah. I feel like I've never seen more than one hair in restaurant food. That feels like that's crossing a line there.
I was confused. Last time I went to Kansas, I got some buffalo wings. I was out with my dad and my sister, and I bit into the buffalo wing in the very first one, and like this giant hair came out of like inside of it. And look, I'm not a chicken doctor. I don't really know how like this, but how does it get in? Isn't it a full thing, and then you just cook it? Like, how did the hair get?
It wasn't just like
injected.
It was like a skinny tendon or something.
No, it was definitely a hair.
It was probably a hair. I feel like that's happened to me before, and Dan, it's one of life's mysteries. I honestly don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, and like as I bit in and pulled out, it's like, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah, I mean, did it like eat it and it like broke through the intestine and like got caught in the muscle? I have no idea. Like it's really deeply troubling to figure out.
Yeah.
I had glass in my food once and I almost didn't tell the waitress about it. But I was like, but other people might also... If I do, so that was the only reason I did. Yeah.
Glass?
Boston pizza in a pasta dish. There was several pieces of glass. I was like, oh.
What the hell?
That is straight up lawsuit material. Jeez.
I know. Yeah, luckily,
is that why you went into law?
Yeah, just to get that one Boston pizza. Still working
law,
on it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my mom took me out of this place, Jose Pepper's. It was a Mexican place in Kansas City. And I guess the waitress was bringing, like, I was very young, but bringing the glasses and sodas around and stuff and dropped one and it shattered on my head. The glass, on a child's head, shattered glass. And the way she describes it is like the manager and everyone, like they came out and they were clearly freaked out about a lawsuit or whatever. And they're like, hey, you know, Dan, what do you want? We'll get you anything you want, anything, like anything to eat, any dessert, anything. And I was like, I want grilled cheese. And they're like, a Mexican restaurant. And they're like, well, we don't really have grilled cheese. So they had to like send someone to the grocery store to get like a loaf of bread and come back and make me a grilled cheese at this Mexican place.
And now, does that make you a good guy or a bad guy in this story? I can't quite tell.
I'm the victim.
Yeah, but you made somebody go to a grocery store.
He still somehow put someone out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, man, they were going to give you anything in the place. And you're like, I want something not from this place.
You got to go to Reichert's Market and give my grandpa the business.
Yeah. Look out for the family. There you go.
So that was my role.
All right. Let's see here. Dan, I believe it's your turn. Go ahead and pick a voicemail.
Let's go with Just Watched Annette.
Oh, surprising, Dan. Really?
Hey, fuckos. So, I just watched Annette, and I think I understand why Dan is so infatuated with that movie. Because it's basically a musical written and directed by Hideo Kojima.
Yeah.
You know, some interesting ideas, but, like, ruined by dumb dialogue and blunt metaphors. And it goes on for too long. That movie is 2.5 hours.
What?
Love you guys. Bye.
No,
me too.
He's spot on. It's very, very, very Kojima, I would say.
And Dan, yeah. I listened to the last episode, but how many times have you seen Annette at this point? What's the total?
Five.
Okay.
For a movie that the first time Bonk and I watched it, we both were like, that's the worst fucking movie we've ever seen in our lives.
And how many times have you seen Old Dogs? Genuinely the worst movie ever made?
Just once with you, I think.
Really?
I think we need to fix that. I keep an eye to see if it comes to Amazon so I can do a watch party on Twitch because I need more people to see Old Dogs. Because that's how I got introduced to it. I was at a TGS and someone was telling me, like, have you seen Old Dogs? Like, I'm in Japan and someone's like, have you seen Old Dogs? And I'm like, no. And they're like, you have to see it. It's the most bafflingly terrible movie ever. I get back and I'm like, Hanson, we got to watch it. Because Hanson, you and I have probably watched more genuinely awful movies together than good ones, right? We probably watched 100 movies together, but probably more bad. We watched that fucking conservative Zucker Brothers comedy starring Chris Farley's brother and Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
where that's it's like very good.
Is that Christmas Carol? Yeah, it was like John Voight as Washington and stuff.
Yeah, and Bill O'Reilly's in it. Yes.
I completely forgot about that.
How funny is Bill O'Reilly? I bet he's got great comedic timing.
He's a hoot.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's the thing. Hanson, we've watched both Dumb and Dumber sequels together. We watch Old Dogs and Wild Hogs together. Like, that's kind of a thing we've done for a long time. And Old Dogs is the worst, I think.
It is.
Which
one
is Old Dogs? Is that the John Travolta motorcycle
they
one?
Both, no. It's easy because it seems like it's a spiritual follow-up to Wild Hogs. Different character. I have watched Wild Hogs in the last 2 months. It is John Travolta. There is some crossover, but Old Dogs is with Robin Williams, Bernie Mac, and John Travolta. And Hanson, do you remember the plot?
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring up Japan because it involves a Japanese business crossover or acquisition at some point. But the plot of Old Dogs, at some point
there's a puppet.
They make a human puppet suit and John Travolta wears it to like impress Robin Williams's son. I cannot begin
Bernie
to describe.
Mac is like electrocuting him to make like puppet John Travolta move around all crazy.
It is genuinely, it's an incoherent film, but you can tell it's a film that was terrible, but they just dialed it up because they must've done some focus testing. It's like, this is a comedy, but nobody's laughing. So we need to get through this scene as fast as possible. So it has the wildest setup for every like, you know, just set piece comedy scene, except it wasn't working. So they trimmed this elaborate set piece down. And so every sequence is just like a minute and a half of something completely incoherent that's cut rapid fire like a freaking Mr. Beast video, and then it moves on. And you just have no time to process what they were even going for, but nothing lands.
It's 88 minutes long.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
Wow. Like the proudest movie length. That's where, like, you know, they're very happy with what they've done there.
I'm reading the Wikipedia about that. Not all movies that are that short are bad.
Listen, I also think at the time, Sylvester Stallone wasn't too proud of that movie, although he should have been. It's great.
Yes.
I read the plot on Wikipedia.
Please.
And it reads like you described, where it's like every sentence feels disconnected from the last one. Dan Rayburn and Charlie Reed are best friends and co-owners of a successful sports marketing firm. 7 years prior, Dan, recently divorced, married Vicky after being whisked away by Charlie for a tropical vacation. Those are the first two sentences, already completely unrelated.
Okay.
The marriage, however, is short-lived. 7 years later, Vicky resurfaces to tell him that their short marriage resulted in something he never suspected. Twins Zach and Emily? I had no idea that this was like a family comedy.
Is
what,
it?
Like,
I don't
it's
know.
Like a cool business dude having it, or like guy who's supposed to be cool business dude. That it's suddenly like, oh, I have responsibility. What the hell? Like, I think that's the idea.
And then
the next sentence real quick is, as Vicky is facing jail time for her work as an environmental activist and her friend Jenna is hospitalized from a freak accident,
yes,
she asks Dan to take care of the kids while she does her time.
And somehow it ends, I think, with like a gorilla making love to Seth Green. Isn't there something about that?
Yeah. Yeah. A gorilla sex with Seth Green in a bush. Yeah.
What?
Makes love, man, please.
Travolta might have the most impressive shitty movie resume as far as like an actual like actor that is like well known.
You could make a Mount Rushmore of bad movies with just his movies.
I mean, in the last month, I've watched Gotti and The Fanatic, the movie directed by Fred Durst, starring him as an obsessive like stalker celebrity fan. It is unbelievably terrible, and Travolta's got like at least 8 movies on that level of terrible. Battlefield Earth, I mean, one of the worst ever.
There is a dog on the poster for the movie. Is there dogs involved in Old Dogs?
I don't think so. I think it's just there are a couple of old guys. Therefore,
Can't teach an old dog new tricks.
That's what they're going for.
So why do you think they put a dog at the center of the movie poster?
Well,
I'm
sure
literally the character. It's right between.
Look, I'm sure
Robin Williams.
There's
and
so
John
many
Travolta.
Cuts in that film. I'm sure there's a 1.5 second shot where there's a dog in it at some point, but you don't have time to think about it or process it in any way.
Well, good job to Walter Disney on that film.
Yep, they did it.
That's a Disney.
That's a Disney film.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Why do you think Mike's obsessed with it? Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. That's from the director of Van Wilder. He directed Wild Hogs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. See, there is connective
same
tissue.
Universe, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
he
did Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Road Chip.
It's the Og cinematic universe.
Yeah. All right. My turn to pick, and then chat. Go ahead and throw some stuff in there. I'll get your guys' input for the next one after that. I'm going to go with Cross Media Savants.
Hi, it's Nathan from Parker, Colorado. I recently found out that David Hayter, motherfucking Solid Snake, wrote the screenplays for the first two X-Men movies. Seriously, what the fuck? Are there any other weird cross-media savants out there? Did Troy Baker win a Pulitzer Prize or something? Thanks. Love you all and what you do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I just learned one about this. First of all, yeah, David Hayter. That's one I think about all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that guy wrote X-Men and X-Men 2. Those are both good movies.
And Scorpion King, I think?
That sounds right, yeah.
And then he also did Watchmen, Zack Snyder's Watchmen, too.
That's right. Wow. Yeah, that's right. God.
And
he
starred in some like shitty like action, like sci-fi action movie. It has like
you're not talking about wolves, are you?
No, chat. What is this? God, he's like a space guy with a Guyver. Is it Guyver? Guyver 2? That might be it.
I don't know. He also played King
Guyver's
Shark.
A space guy.
In I think the Flash TV show, he played King Shark, who now is popular again. Of course, because of Suicide Squad.
So yeah, they have never been more popular. thanks to that video game. There was the guy that animated and directed a popular children's film called The Red Balloon. He also created the board game Risk. I just learned this recently. I'm like, that's pretty neat that's the same guy. But most people probably don't know what The Red Balloon is who are listening to this. But it's good. You should check it out, especially if you have kids.
Yeah, there's something. Oh, there's a Disney Plus series called Puppy Dog Pals. We all know it and love it.
Oh, my God. What a great pull, Ben.
Yeah. And the creator is Harlan Williams.
I was like,
I was wondering what he was up to.
He's the show.
I was convinced
for this,
when I was like, I'd get to the end of those episodes and be like, created by Harlan Williams. I'm like, well, that's a different Harlan Williams. There's no way it's that guy.
The Rocket
from
Man.
From down Periscope. Yeah. That one's wild. And it's like, apparently it's just because it's about like pugs, right? And apparently he's just super into pugs. And so he's like, I'll make a cartoon for Disney about pugs. I'm like, okay, fair enough.
No, the David Hayter thing, I think about a lot. Just like his career. And at some point he was like, he wrote X-Men 2 and he still couldn't get a Metal Gear Solid movie off the ground. Like he, in theory, knows that franchise pretty damn well. And even with that on his resume, it still wasn't quite happening. But don't worry, Dan, that Jordan Vogt Roberts script is going to be happening any minute
now.
I
swear. Now, yeah.
Anytime somebody brings up like, oh, wow, Sony signed a thing. It's really going to happen. I just dig up the, every 4 years, there's an article about like, oh, got the green light at Sony Columbia. Oh, we've got this director attached. We've got this actor attached. Oh, it's going to be like they have announced it so many fucking times in the last like 20 years. And like, I will not believe it until I see a trailer in a movie theater.
Yep.
Do you feel that way about video game movies as a whole now, or is it just Metal Gear Solid that's in that spot?
I think Metal Gear is the one that's in that like Chinese democracy, Duke Nukem Forever thing of like, all right, let's see if this ever actually happens.
Yeah, but they announced, I mean, there's so many of those movies are like, oh yeah, we're making an Asteroids movie, everybody. Oh yeah, we're going to make there's so many of those projects that it seems like they're never going to see the light of day. But now with Mario momentum in the industry, it feels like some of them are actually crossing the finish line here and actually getting into production.
Well, that's my thought on like after Barbie, when Mattel announced like 14 movies or something. It's like, I could actually see, I don't think these are necessarily going to be good like Barbie, but I could see companies being like, we got to do more of this and not at all understanding why Barbie was a success.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Playmobil movie after the Lego movie. It's like,
right.
No, you guys, can't. Yes. And the trailer alone was too much to watch.
Yeah. It's apparently quite abysmal. But Dan, I still want to watch Kong Skull Island with you, which is Jordan Roberts' movie before, or, the last maybe feature-length movie that he made. But that's like a real guilty pleasure film. I really love
it. Yeah,
that's
it's fine.
I like that movie.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, it's good. It's a good time.
Yeah.
I in a world where, like, a Twisted Metal TV show came out and people seem to like it. I haven't watched it, but people seem to like it. It's like, ah, anything can happen if that's possible. So, but Metal Gear Solid, maybe, maybe never. All right, chat. Did you guys throw some in there? Let's see here. Go ahead, do it one more time, and I will pick the first one that I see. You guys have Syringe to pick for. Smells Good. Sad Song. You guys want Cats the Musical, of course.
Yes, yes, yes.
Hey, Don't Drop. This is Knuckleberry. So I just got to say, I like Cats the Musical. And, like, it's because it's all vibes. You know, a lot of musicals have too much story and garbage. And I just want a vibe. Maybe be on an edible, and cats is all fucking vibes. It's just cats going about their fucking frivolous lives and maybe contemplating death a little bit. Other musicals, too much story. Fucking Alexander Hamilton dueling and being a bad father. Fuck you. Cats is the shit.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you, buddy. I'm looking when he says it's just cats vibing around. It's not just cats. If you just look at the images from this film again, those are not cats. Those are abominations upon God wandering around. It's such a chill.
Oh, you don't have an imagination, Ben Hansen. You can't play along in the space.
Is he talking about fun? Wait, is he talking about the movie? Because I don't feel like he made a distinction there, right?
He said Cats the Musical. I think he's, when you say Cats the Musical, I think you are referring to the stage performance.
But do people take edibles and go to the theater?
I think that's a thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a thing fancy people do.
You could get the actual musical, because my sister growing up had the VHS of the stage musical and would watch it like on repeat. So you could like just watch it from the comfort of your home.
That's probably what he meant, was the VHS version of the original Cats musical on Broadway.
There we go.
I got my VCR hooked up. If anyone wants to see Cats on VHS, I'll watch that. And I'll take an edible.
And that's why your sister's number one karaoke pick is Memories. Uh-huh. It's all coming together
every
now.
Time I've seen Kayla sing Memories and tear the house down inexplicably like 400 times at karaoke bars.
Did you ever hear that story that's how they used to soothe Donald Trump, like he was the Incredible Hulk? Like, if they just put on Memories from Cats, he would calm down. So, like, in
this
the
real?
Yeah,
100%. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, so, like, in the Oval Office, when he was throwing a tantrum, they just have to play Memories for him.
What?
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow. My dad, I wonder if your kid will get one of these, Hanson, because, like, I remember my dad says the magic thing with me as a kid when I was a baby and, like, full-on tantrum, crazy ass, you know, losing my mind. They had a VHS tape that was just... I guess Van Halen did a cover of California Girls, and they did a music video, and he says it's just like this really over-the-top music video of California Girls, and he put the VHS in, and I would go from screaming like I was getting stabbed to death to just like, just complete silence.
And that was...
That's a great music video, though. I love that.
I need to watch it now. I don't remember what it looks like.
You don't even remember it? Oh, that'd be fun to have, like, your raw reaction to that thing again.
He said it was, like, very, like, exaggerated faces and very just, like, people having cameras and fisheye lenses and stuff. And he thinks that's why I was like, whoa, crazy.
And that's why you like The Pest so much? Because I kind of had a similar sensibility? Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Just give me a fisheye lens and shove your face in it, and I'll be happy.
You think Trump just, like, really relates to, like, Skimbleshanks or whatever? He's just, like, thinking about the plot
rum,
of Skimbleshanks.
Rum-tug-tugger.
Yeah, got it. I'm like, scared to say most of those cats' names. It feels like a slur. Uh-huh.
Remember when Taylor Swift was in Cats and it should have been the biggest thing in the world because of that, but it seems like it helped it out for like $10 at the box office and that's about it? Like, how did that happen?
Right. She does have like the most like market swaying power in the world, and even she could not like get people to go see Cats.
But I feel like, other than Mike again, I'm not a Taylor Swift scholar, but I feel like her crazy mega stardom, like she's been a big star for a long time, but like I feel like the last like three or 4 years has been like, what the fuck happened? She is like astronomical famous at this point. Whereas Cats,
it's bigger now.
She was famous, but not like she is now. Right?
Yeah, she was still probably the biggest.
She was taking
stuff
world like Cats,
in 2019.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I think she was still like top 10 in the world though at that time. I mean, I guess there is a difference between like number three, like the difference between Tom Brady and everyone, like in commercials, like actually only Tom Brady can sell stuff and everyone else is kind of the same. I think she wasn't at that Tom Brady level at that point, I think.
But I'm trying to think, like, who are the celebrities that can really bring people in just because they're in something? You know, I feel
we just read that book, Dan, that they mentioned. It was like, it was just Tom Brady.
It was Tom Brady, because they tried like Steph Curry and a bunch of other people. It's like, nah, it turns out Tom Brady actually moves the needle and others don't really.
This is for 80 for Brady? What book are you talking about? What is this?
Yes, this the novelization of 80 for Brady. Thank you. Yeah, I've been meaning to have a reason to bring that up. No, it's that book about, what's his name?
Sam Bankman-Fried, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like, he would be like, he doesn't understand people. So he's like, I don't get why anyone cares about a celebrity. But when I look at it, the only one that anyone ever actually bought anything because of was Tom Brady. But we spent all this money all over the place, and it's like just this one person actually worked. So.
But he was in that that Netflix show with Paul Rudd getting a clone, and I don't remember that getting a big, like, I feel like Tom Brady's been in a bunch of stuff that didn't blow up, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if it's like, well, if he's like endorsing something, somehow that works, but like actually if he's like showing up to act, like, well, I don't need that. I don't need to see that. That's okay.
Yeah, who does? I feel like it's that monoculture thing, right? Where it's like there used to be like big fucking stars, and now it's like, yeah, there's big stars, but in little like niche audiences.
But also,
right?
It's like, yeah, if you just wanted to see a celebrity you liked, you have limited opportunities for that. Whereas now it's like, I can find Jessica Alba on YouTube probably. I don't need to go run out to a theater to see her in some new movie, but I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't think Jessica Alba would be the first person on your list for a celebrity.
Is there a bigger one?
She's huge.
No one in the world bigger than Jessica Alba. All right, Haley, I think we're back to you if you're ready to pick your next voicemail.
Sure. Let's go with, I'm curious about Syringe.
Oh, no, Haley.
So me and my friends used to take Capri Suns, normal Capri Suns, and a syringe and Everclear and with a needle in it, and drink a little bit of the Capri Sun and then take a shot of Everclear in the syringe, get it into the Capri Sun, and then tape the hole back over the Capri Sun with duct tape generally, and then take those places.
Yeah.
What was how did you guys sneak alcohol into places?
Were you guys nervous that the Everclear was going to get injected somewhere?
No, I wondered for a second. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. When it was like, me and my friends used to take, and I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to like put him back on store shelves, but this makes me feel a lot better. He's just trying to get drunk with his buddies. Okay.
Yeah, he's trying to have fun.
Okay.
I've done a lot of this. In college, one of the only classes I would go to is there was one that was like 6:30 to 10 at night, and it was like pop culture of the 70s. And so we would just watch movies from the 70s. And me and my friend Ben were just drunk idiots, and we're like, yeah, we'll go watch a movie and get drunk in the back of this giant theater class. And we would take a gallon of milk once the milk was gone. And then we would fill it with, there was a Kool-Aid thing called Mad Scientist. It was Kool-Aid Mad Scientist, which was like twisted flavors or whatever. So we'd fill it with that and water and Everclear. And we would just sit in the back row of the theater classroom and just pass it back and forth and drink.
You're
Everclear
the inventor
in class.
Of the Borg? You invented Borgs?
Oh, yeah. Is that what the Borg? That's the thing? Yeah, yeah.
College kids do with their big, like, they put the jungle juice in there, but they call them Borgs now.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. And then the other one, if like, I'm going to like, I used to go to like Royals and Chiefs games and stuff like that, and you can't, and you know, the stuff was super expensive in there, and I didn't have any money. So I'd take a flask and you fill it with whiskey, and I would put it just right down the front of the pants. Because, you know, there's like metal detectors and stuff, and they will like kind of like feel, but like nobody was just like grabbing your junk. And so I would just put the flask right down the front between the underpants and the jeans.
Like a gentleman.
And then just go in there, and I would just confidently just do this, and they do the up, okay, you're good.
Yep. I would go through a big rigmarole to like sneak stuff in like movie theaters. We'd like put stuff into other drinks and things like that. But at a certain point, it's like, nah, cargo shorts are really big, and I can fit an entire fifth in here, and we'll just do that, and then we'll just pour it in whatever we're drinking. We got real lazy there at the end, but yeah, cargo shorts is my real answer.
Smart.
Yeah.
I don't know if I snuck alcohol in anywhere, but I have a fun story where I was at a bar at my friend's college, and the bar was like a bunch of windows on one side, and this girl came up and tapped on the window, and I looked at her, and she looked just like me. Like a twin. What? And she looked and she went like this, and I held up my ID, and she nodded yes, and I slid through the window, and she used my ID and got in too and hung out with us the rest of the night.
What?
That's fun. That rules.
Wow.
Great.
What a cool, the balls on that lady to be like, I'm gonna pull this off, and it actually worked. That's fantastic.
Wow. Because like our drinking age in Canada is 19, so she was like 18 probably. Like she was a first year, maybe her birthday's in a month or something. So she's like, oh, I want this just want to get into the bar. She scanned and just noticed that we looked really similar. And it they didn't remember my name, I guess, because they had just let me in with my ID and let her in too.
Yeah. Wait, are you the granddaughter of John McClane?
You're famous.
Did you guys ever go to Canada to drink when you were like 19 and 20?
No, I probably should have, huh? But
I should have too. I mean, it was something close. My older brothers did, where it was like, because yeah, I was like, I could have gone to Windsor. It was like not that far from us. And it was something I always heard my brothers do. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that when I'm 19 and 20. And then it just never even occurred to me. It was like not something people were doing at that time. But it's like, I don't know why. It was like something we were drinking all the time. We were looking for opportunities to do it, but we never even tried that.
So. Yeah, I just grew up in the country. So we would just go hang out in some, you know, field. Pasture with a bunch of cows around and just chug beer out there. Like,
I
cool
guess we
guys.
Did that, but technically legally.
Damn it, living the life.
Like in chat here, Dazzler says, wife brought a bunch of booze and fake tampon tubes to the Royal Rumble 2017.
Yeah, they never check the tampon tube fake ones. They don't check those very much at a lot, I've heard.
They don't grab the junk. They don't check tampon tubes. It's American Puritanism just keeping you drunk all the time. That's great. Ben, you're up for the next one.
Oh, I think I'm going to go with It's a Good Day. I'm trying to even out somebody choosing syringe.mp3. So maybe this one's nice enough.
This is probably going to be horrifying, actually.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, Dumpers. It's John from Louisville. I got McDonald's for lunch. I want to try that anime sauce or whatever. Yeah, that's pretty good. But, you know, just going through my bag. You know, you ever heard about, like, the one extra nugget in, like, a six-piece?
Yeah.
Homie and McDonald's hooked me up with an entire extra order of fucking nuggets.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a good day, you know? All right. Just thought I'd let you know. What's some wins you've got lately? All right. Have a good one. Bye.
What's he's anime burying sauce? The lead? What is the what is this anime sauce? I'm pretty on top of McDonald's. I had it like last week.
I was there last week getting my kids Happy Meals, and I was using the app to order because I wanted to sit in the parking lot and play Balatro and have them just bring it out to me instead of sitting in the drive-thru. So I was on the app, and I got to choose the sauces for their Happy Meal because they get chicken nuggets. And the first one is WickDonald's and then some other bullshit. And I was I'm like, why is the M upside down? It's WickDonald's, like McDonald's is Wario. And then some other word, honestly. And I did not get an answer to it, but it did frighten me. I don't know what this is. I think you called it anime sauce?
Yeah.
Is that apparently it's manga-inspired savory chili sauce. As part of its anime collaboration.
I like the last three words of that.
It's from the McDonald's universe.
What possibly mean?
Weird.
What does anime taste like?
Oh, you can't. We can't find out the answer to that. That is deeply troubling.
I know Canada will never get this.
Sorry, Canada.
Never.
From my limited experience, it's mostly lasers. So I assume it just tastes like lasers.
Welcome to McDonald's universe. What is this?
Okay, Dan, is that Dragon Ball Z you're connecting with lasers? You think they're shooting lasers out of their hands?
I mean, the anime I've seen now is Dragon Ball Z, several seasons of My Hero Academia, and Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Ooh, okay.
And I feel like there were lasers in all of them. Yeah, it's like power beams and stuff like that. There's a lot
power
of that
beams
going on.
For sure. Definitely power
beams. More of an inner being. It's their chi or kai.
What's it
or
look
whatever.
Like? It looks like a damn laser.
Yeah, but it's an emotional laser.
Okay. A laser nonetheless.
Dan, if you were president, would you? And someone's like, hey, we want to put an orbital cannon that shoots lasers down on the Earth. Do you think that would be a good idea?
I think everybody on the project would have to watch GoldenEye first so they knew the risks.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as there was like the some safe nuclear football situation or whatever. Well, aren't like deterrence good or something? I don't know. I would trust my war guys with that. I don't really know anything about war. Guys.
Yeah. So I went through, was it a Burger King? Not too long ago, just late night run. I think it was when I was coming back from your house, Dan, after watching Timeline. I was like, I need to cleanse this from my system. I ordered like, I think it was a 3-piece mozzarella sticks thing. I was really looking forward to it. And then I pulled up to get the bag and I could see them talking in there and I could hear what they're saying. And they're like, no, here are the 3-piece, not the 6. Yeah, the 3, not the 6. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get 6 mozzarella sticks. This is the best night of my life, despite watching Timeline from 2003. And then I just watched him take those three mozzarella sticks and just like throw them away and then
Are
give me the three.
Are you serious?
It was outrageous.
They threw them away?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that. As someone who's worked the window at a fast food place, no, you give people their wins when they can.
Like, I would
if you're not
getting
in trouble, it's an honest mistake. You don't throw it away. What are you talking about?
I mean, granted,
That's
I was
crazy.
Being a monster.
You were honking the whole time watching.
Throwing stuff in there.
Trying to show him pictures of anime girls you think are pretty and stuff. I like when I worked at fast food, I would always give people their stuff. But I recently have noticed, like, if you like a Starbucks, like I'll go pick up my wife's Starbucks order, and occasionally they'll make a mistake, and it's like you should just give me the other drink because no one else can drink it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll ask for it back, and I'm like, what is that about? Why would they do that? It's just weird.
I thought they're getting in trouble for that. Well, I don't know. There are some asshole fast food managers. I've worked for some.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Dan, you ever tempted to go get a job at like McDonald's now just for like a month just to see what it'd be like? Like, how quickly do you think you can make it to manager if you're starting at the bottom of that operation?
Oh, I mean, very quick. I mean, I made it to supervisor at AMC when I was 15, and that wasn't even supposed to be legal. You know,
like nepotism.
I think nepotism. What? I don't know. No, I.
Dan's the heir to the AMC family fortune. Of course, we all know that. Yeah,
I think within 6 months I could be manager. Like, just based on my history, like again, like making it to supervisor at 15 by just talking to the right people and doing the right stuff, I think I'd be better at it now. I think it'd be more potent.
Yeah.
Is that illegal to be manager? Like, what is illegal about that?
I don't know if it was technically illegal, but I started there at 14. When I was 14, I worked at McDonald's and AMC at the same time. And I was just very much just like, I want to move up. I want to get paid more. And so like, I was just talking to everyone. I remember the manager being like, he said, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. He said that when I was 14. I remember I never forgot that. Like, all right, I'm never going
to
fucking shut up.
So this is the guy we have to blame.
All right. Well, there's lots of factors, but yeah. So I remember like, okay, I'm never going to forget that. And so I just kept bugging him and bugging him and bugging him and doing the stuff I had to do to like get noticed and move up. And the first review I had when I was 15, they're like, hey, we don't normally do this. Normally, like, you know, you have to be 16 at least to make it to like supervisor of concessions or something. But they moved me up to list straight up supervisor of like concessions, ushering, and box office. The only thing I didn't have was projection.
Did you deserve
it? Now
that
I think about it. Oh, yeah.
That was good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was good when I needed to be. You know,
sure.
Yeah.
Like, I think you were bad when, you needed to be too.
when they were looking. I was good. You know, when I could get away with it, I would go hide in the freezer and eat Sour Patch Kids.
Is that the most bad boy thing you did as an AMC manager?
I mean, I distinctly remember the weekend Toy Story 2 opened, and we had four huge theaters. They were the four main ones. Normally,
just to be clear, Dan. Just to be clear, this is when the toys were back in town.
The toys were back in town. Yeah. And yeah, it was in all four of our big theaters, and it was a short movie. So, and kids' movies were always the roughest because, like, they were always paying the asses. They never knew what they wanted. You had to make the kids pack. They had, like, the nacho thing and the popcorn and the drink, and it was just a whole thing. And so it was, like, the biggest nightmare scenario ever. And I remember just, like, I spent most of those days when Toy Story 2 was out, like, literally sitting on frozen hot dog boxes in the freezer, stealing packs of Sour Patch Kids and drinking Fruitopia, and just, like, checking my watch, and I would have the run sheet of like, you know, when all the movies were letting out and stuff, and I would time it to come out at the right times. So it was like, all right, let's get this place cleaned up. And, and then all of a sudden the lines would get long. I'd be like, I'll go fix something. And the syrup machines are broken.
I bet it was so obvious too.
Oh, God.
You sucked.
What is the oldest person, or how old was the oldest person that was under your employ?
Oh, there were definitely dudes in like their mid-30s, and I was never like an asshole, but like I could tell if I just asked them to do anything, like after a rush, I'd be like, hey, Justin, can you push broom, you know, the popcorn here? And they'd just be this motherfucking kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and the thing I fucking hated was that the smokers on staff, because like it was busy, and for as much as I skimped out on stuff and everything, it was a hard job at times. But everyone on staff that smoked, like nine times a fucking day, they'd just go out, they'd be not able fair. To go out by the dumpsters and smoke for 20 minutes whenever they wanted to. Meanwhile, non-smokers, it's like, okay, we have a very strict 15 minutes. You can go up to the break room and you can like, and I just never understood that. Like, oh, because they picked up a habit, they get to like take unlimited breaks.
Like, yeah, you should have gotten like Game Boy Color breaks or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like I just, that always rubbed me the wrong way.
It should. You know what's rubbing me the wrong way that I'm realizing now as an adult? I don't think I ever got a promotion in my entire life.
Really?
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 No.
You got that modest Minnesota thing going on, though. You're like, That's a Minnesota thing, I
like
think.
Ben's like for a raise, and you're like, that's all. I'm very comfy Minnesota's where I'm at.
Yes, Grub. I heard that joke, Grub. It was half finished, but I heard it and I appreciated it.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yes, I realized I was stepping on Haley. I'm like, I got to abandon ship here. I worked early on when I was 14. I got suspended from school for 90 days for accidentally bringing an air, like one of those air pellet guns to school in my backpack.
What?
And someone ripped it open. Someone ripped it open because I got in a fight because it was when I was new there, and the gun fell out, and it was like, it looked kind of like real, but it had an orange tip, whatever. I got suspended for 90 days. They didn't get in trouble. It was kind of bullshit. So I got a job in that time, and I went to go work at Kroger, and I was bagging, and I remember like getting hired. And they're like, we have rigid, like, you work for this long. If you meet all this criteria, you are definitely getting a promotion. And so throughout my entire life, I'm like, that's normal. That's how it should be. Like, you just know what you need to do to move up the hierarchy. And I realized, like, actually very late in life, it's like, oh, that was just because it was a union shop. It was a union store. So they had rules for why you got promotions. Everywhere I worked afterward, it's like, that's very funny, very cute that you want a promotion. That's nice. Cool. We can replace you with any scum on the street. You're never getting a promotion. So, yeah, I got misled early on by Kroger.
My tip to anyone out there is just nonstop ask for them. Ask for promotions. Yes. Ask for raises. For sure. Make it extremely clear every review you have. Like, I want to move up. I want more money, please. Like what do I need to do? Like, just don't shut up about it. You know, like,
tell me what to
Gracie
do.
Gracie Whale gets the whale.
How did that PR person describe you? The most like kindly persistent person.
That PR person. Yes, I know we were talking about. I was on a trip in the last year or so, and there was a PR person introducing me to her coworkers, and they're like, this is Dan from Dry Mom. He is the most kindly persistent media person I have ever met in my entire life. And I told her, I was like, I think that's a compliment. She goes, no, it is. It is. Trust me. I work with so many media people who are like huge pains in the ass about everything, but you are so nice. Anytime you email me about everything, and it makes it so easy to work with. I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm glad that that's what's coming through.
I humbly request, and I'm just throwing out there that I might deserve free games for the rest of my life. Thank you very much for your time. I love you.
all right, let's get to the next one. I think, Ben, is it you or did you already go? I can't remember.
I think I just went.
No, you just went. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Dan Reichert, your turn.
Let's go with pre-cut frozen pizzas.
Okay, I was listening to the previous dump truck, 104. Something about the world being a coward. Why don't we have pre-cut frozen pizzas?
Mm.
I don't want to own a pizza cutter. It's useless, except for cutting frozen pizzas. We should have the engineers, the science, the technology to pre-cut a frozen pizza. We could all get rid of pizza cutters forever, throughout the country. One less utensil.
Here's what's wrong. There's a thousand things wrong with this. And I'll start with the obvious one. Pizza cutters are cool. It's the coolest utensil in the kitchen, I would
dare
say.
This is your strongest argument, Ben.
Thank you.
You're starting strong, so okay.
They're fun to play with. Yeah, but you're not going to hurt yourself with a pizza cutter, but it has a little bit of a scary edge
right.
to it.
You haven't watched enough indie wrestling.
Oh, that's a big thing.
Watch some Nick Gage matches.
Oh, damn it. No, but it's fun to play with. I don't know. Fond memories of playing with pizza cutters as a child.
Yeah. They're complex machines. They like move. They have cool parts.
Yeah.
I like that.
They roll. Although,
they roll.
That's
they do
the
roll.
Secret. It's like a car.
I'm like, I'm trying to
the cars, the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could they perforate the pizza? Like, because clearly you don't want like 8 slices moving around independently in a box.
Oh,
could they?
Oh, I think perforating. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Like a gingerbread house thing. Like,
like the gingerbread house thing.
All right. I have the solution here. And this actually goes into something else I've been beating a drum on for like a decade, is how I want pre-cut steaks, or I want a device where I like a chunk chunk where that cuts the steaks. So it's all, you don't have to spend
it's called
half
your teeth
doing this. It's called what?
Your teeth.
No, I want picture like a waffle maker thing that's all got, you know, jigsaw stuff, and you put it down and it cuts the whole steak. Now, recently, I've actually done a little bit of cooking lately, and I bought this little gimmick that is like a vegetable slicer, and I swear it takes down the time. Like, you put a half an onion in there, you go, tunk, and it dices it
slap
finely.
Chop.
Yeah. It's one of those, basically. And it comes with different attachments where it's like, there's one where it's like, okay, half inch one. So if you need bigger things or whatever, it does that. If you need it finally, whatever, you swap it out
Minster
for that.
Minster dice, which apparently are actual different things I've learned recently.
Yeah. Yes, and they genuinely work. They make it so much easier than like cutting an onion, you know, by hand and everything. So just make a big one of those and make attachments that are like steak size or pizza shaped or something. And then you can just put it in there and then
circles.
You know?
How
you
big?
Sound like you sound like the Saw murderer trying to order one of these things for a murder without like making it obvious.
like the size of a shape wanted, of the size of a head or something.
Yeah,
you
the
know?
Size
like,
of a human body. Just,
I just want
just
flesh to fall
there.
Through it quickly, efficiently.
Dan, I'm just not with you on this, bud. You're like half the time you have to cut it. It's like, I mean, if you're eating a meal, you're holding a fork the whole time. So you're holding a fork and a knife.
That's
just
two things you got to put through the dishwasher.
We're getting okay, too Ben, close to the Wall-E people in the chairs if we start inventing
we're,
things
we're
like
that.
That's a theme on the show.
Yeah, you seem very comfortable.
Dan, I think I told you about that Michael Crichton autobiography or like his memoirs that I read a while ago called Travels. And he talked about having dinner with Sean Connery because they made that film together. And Sean Connery refused to use utensils when eating steak. He's like, no, you just eat it like a man. And he would just like grab a steak and just not. And like he had multiple steak dinners and Connery refused to use any silverware. So that's your future,
hell
Dan.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I take back everything I said. I'm going to start eating like Connery.
I think that's fair. If you're no big complex machines, just with your bare hands. Yeah. Get in there. All right.
Cereal. cereal like a man. My Fruit Loops like a man. The blue ones are gross.
You'll use a napkin, just wipe it on your tartan skirt. All right. I'll go with Monsieur Bacalar.
Bonjour, Dumpy Boys. Je m'appelle Léo Scarax, director of Annette, winner of the PAM d'Or at the Cannes Film Festival, and certified fresh pour autant tonato. I am calling to condemn Monsieur Jeffrey Bacalar, who does not understand cinema and will never be funny like Henri Nick Henry. Monsieur Bacalar, I have written a song for you to sing to apologize to me. Sing this word. I am sorry, I am sorry. I am bad YouTuber. I am sorry, I am sorry. I resign in shame. Of course, your audience will then sing response to you. Au revoir, Dumper.
Is that a computer voice?
Yeah.
No, I think it was. You think it was? I guess it could have been. Yeah.
Haley, you're Canadian. Was that real French or what's going on up there?
That was real French. It was giving Air Canada, I'm about to take off, and they got to read it in French. So that's why I thought it was. That's why I thought it was a computer.
I guess now that you say it, like that probably was a computer voice. What happened there? I know someone was saying that Bacalar's a bad YouTuber in French.
I think
that
much. Am I mishearing? Was that not somebody saying I'm the director of Annette?
Oh, okay.
Is that what was happening? I think that's what was happening.
That would check out. Yeah,
I thought I did hear the word Annette in there and director and movie. So yeah, putting the pieces together, Ben, you might be onto something.
Into some sort of sentence like structure.
Oh, I guess it said it was Léo Scarax who is the director.
Oh, okay.
Just to be clear, we're all going $100 on the table that absolutely was not the director of Annette. Does anyone want to? How confident are we feeling here?
I doubt the director of Annette listens to Giant Bomb.
Also, it's funnier if it was, and we're all certain that it wasn't.
Yeah,
so
we'll just leave it at that then.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
But just hey, I just want to make sure I'm not losing my mind. Like that was weird, right? We're all on the same page, and that was a weird thing.
It's weird in normal context. On voicemail dump truck, that's like still pretty normal. We get about one of those a week.
Cool.
Of those that's like in that vein. All right, I asked chat for the next one, and they chose
an AI pretending to be the director of Annette.
Yeah, we get one of those a week.
New podcast. Yeah, you talking about? Yeah,
you'll get there eventually, Min Max. You guys will get to that level.
I'm watching a quick vid of him talking at some panel, and that kind of sounded
Like
that. I don't know. Maybe now I'm just posthumously wanting it to be true and willing it into existence, but I don't know.
Is that director on Cameo? Is there a chance somebody took that audio from a Cameo today?
That is possible.
We did get Brian Cox yelling at Mike Minotti.
We did get that. How did Bacalar feel about Annette?
Oh, hated it. Hated it.
Super. So you think he needs to just watch it two or three more times and then maybe he'll get it?
That's how it worked for me. Yeah. Same with Death Stranding, took a couple times. Yeah.
All right. How much would the director of Annette charge on Cameo?
Brian Cox charges about $700.
Okay.
So probably not that much.
I'm not seeing anything for Leo Carricks.
No. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Maybe they reached out personally and
did
it out of kindness of his heart.
Slid into Leo Carrick's DMs, said, "Hey, a man didn't like your movie. Can you please call him on his podcast?" Chat chose sad song.
Hey, Dumpers, this is Mike from Austin. Just calling to ask, what's your favorite sad song? I'm listening to Elliot Smith in the car, and I'm not sad, but he makes good sad songs. I don't think he has happy songs. He makes good sad songs.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite sad song that you like to listen to, even when you're not sad? Love y'all. Bye.
Love it. Got it. Lydia Loveless, kind of a Western singer, but she has a song called Clumps, and it's just a breakup song. It shatters me. I've listened to that song so many times, and I'm in a good spot emotionally, but I just keep going back again and again, and it makes me want to bawl my damn eyes out. It's so good.
Recently got into, last year I got into Fast Car again by Tracy Chapman because it was so popular from what's his name, Luke Combs, and that if you actually listen to that song, pretty sad. So yeah, that one's definitely up there. It's got that weariness.
I saw a Bobby Hill AI performance of that song on my TikTok recently, and it was moving.
That's the saddest version you could possibly get. Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, it was moving. He kind of ate.
I don't know if I don't know if I like any sad songs.
Dan, do you believe a song
songs.
Can make you sad?
Me or people?
You.
I don't think.
Like American Pie or something. I don't know. It's going to be something.
I think documentaries and stuff can make me sad because they're real. I think I have when I watch movies and play games and stuff, I know it's just okay, this was made in a computer.
You
this
know
is made
that
on the
emotions
stage.
That they're singing about are real, right?
What about this is the
Marley
end or something?
Me?
This is the end. That's Jim Morrison's a dork. I don't know. I associate that with Apocalypse Now. There's a Skynyrd song, Was I Right or Wrong, where it's about he had issues with his parents and he went off to make himself a big star and everything, and he came back to be like, ha ha, fucking got you, mom and dad, I became a big star. And there's a line, all I saw was two gravestones or something. Like, he came back and his parents were dead, and he's like, oh, what was that all for? I guess that is that's supposed to be sad, and I like that song. I don't feel sadness.
But you're just listening to it and smiling and eating Twizzlers or some shit.
I just think it's a good. I think it's a good song.
So
I think
you
it's
don't funny. Get horny and you don't feel sadness.
No, I get horny. I don't get horny. I stay horny.
Jesus Christ.
No, I just. I get sad. Listen. When sad stuff happens, I've had relatives pass away and stuff like that. And of course you get sad during that. I'm not a robot. But I just I don't think movies or a game, with very, very rare exceptions, I think can make me sad.
Didn't you say that the Spider-Man cutscenes got you emotional?
You know what? Yes. Yes. I guess when there are things that, I guess I can relate to, I guess.
Spider-Man.
Well, no, there was this thing where it's there's that scene with the old guy, and you go down by the pond, and he talks about proposing to his wife there.
Scene.
And I proposed to my wife near a pond, and it was he's sitting on a bench. I proposed her next to a bench. It reminded me of and they talk about how quickly he blinked and time passed, and then he lost his wife. And, it's that's a very relatable, I don't know. It's a human story.
That's typically why things are emotional to people, Dan, is that they're relatable.
I think maybe the problem is I don't watch a lot of emotional stuff. I watch fucking MacGruber and The Rock and wrestling. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just watching the wrong stuff.
That Spider-Man scene, the saddest moment for me is as soon as it ended, and then all of the XP popped off and I got a level up, and it was ching, ching, ching. Good job. You're playing video games. I'm hell yeah.
New suit rules. Unlocked. Yeah. Morning.
Hell
yeah,
old man.
That literally happened to me. Yeah.
Literally.
I guess it's, maybe more I'm just not drawn to sad media. That might be it. Because, like, I think I can feel that under the right circumstances. And, like, I've said before how it's, like, I've cried at, like, what?
We're going on, like, minute seven, you being like, it's conceivable I could feel something someday. So what are we doing here?
The thing. It's like, I think it's almost always real stuff. It's almost always someone dying. Or, like, you know, I've had it when it's, like, you know, wrestlers that I've watched my whole life are forced to retire. And, like, a really sad thing is they fucking, their neck is not working anymore. Like, that is human shit that, like, I will, you know, get emotional about for sure. But, like, yeah, like a song, a movie, a game, it doesn't really happen that much, if ever, you know.
We have three voicemails left. I figure we'll just play through all of them.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and start here with Can't Do.
Hey, Dumpers, it's John from Louisville. So I just realized, you know, I was just looking at a fence the other day, and I realized I've never been able to climb a fence. You know, even when I was a kid, I got fucking, like, duck sized feet, like wide as hell.
Yeah.
And I've just never been able to climb a fence. So just wondering, like, do you all have anything weird like that that you can't do or you weren't able to do, like, growing up, you know? So I just wondered. All right. Love y'all. Bye.
I couldn't see those magic eye pictures until, like, a couple years ago.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
That's pretty good.
I can't do monkey bars in my prime or now. Cannot do them.
You're missing
that's
out.
Like, really not fun. Too unusual for ladies, though, right? The upper body that strength. That's like,
can I blame it on that? Yeah, that's what it is.
Your gender, right?
That's pretty safe to do.
Yeah,
it's because of my gender. That's all.
We've talked about pull-ups before. Like, I've never been able to do those. Yeah,
really? Not one, Dan? Mm-hmm.
No, never. Well, it's like, I don't think I've ever had.
Don't blame it on
strength.
Your gender. I mean, I have a reason.
I've seen dudes do pull-ups before. Yeah,
that's the only thing I can do. And it was because my dad, like, built our house when we were growing up. And so, you know, I was naturally a kid. And so I was like, okay, well, I want monkey bars in my room going from my door to my bed. And he's like, can do. And so I had monkey bars in my bedroom. And athletically, I'm a zero, like D minus in gym class level. But I was like, well, there's monkey bars in my room, so I'm going to be on them all day, every day. So, like, when it comes to pull-ups, that's the only thing I could ever impress anybody with physically, I swear.
That's the thing. You don't do a lot of, like, physical stuff, but you're also one of those people that people hate because you don't do a lot of physical stuff, but you've always been skinny.
Right? I bike, like, 2,000 miles a summer or whatever.
Well, like, so yeah, you make it sound like you don't do it. You bike a lot. Yeah,
but I don't think it doesn't take skill or talent to ride a bike for a long time.
You're that. Ben Hansen thinks that riding a bike is not a sport. So
I mean,
get him on Yozetti on Twitter.
No, come on. Dan doesn't feel anything. Get him.
I feel the same way, Ben, about, like, hey, you just pedal and you go forward.
That's it.
Like, it's not athleticism, right?
But then hill.
There's a lot of effort, a lot of strain, and I am not good enough to, like, compete in a bike race. I'm definitely not saying that,
right?
But, like, the coordination stuff, I guess maybe there is some stuff because you're surrounded by, like, 15 other bicycle riders at the same time, so maybe there's a lot more to it than I'm realizing. But it just feels like, you know, swimming, running, those are ones you just go,
right?
And you, if you go faster than someone else, then you're faster than someone else, and that's it. So is that really a sport is what I'm asking. I don't know.
Take back their medals. Every last one.
Yeah. Thank you. You got to the heart of it.
Yeah.
All right. Next one here. We're going to do Smells Good.
Hey, dumplings. Mouth guard signing on. I'm in Santa Cruz for a work thing. And the first thing after I got out of the Uber at the hotel was I thought, this place smells good. What's the best smelling city that you've been to? All right, good night.
Florida has a very specific smell coming out of the airport. My grandparents live in Florida, and being Canadian, it's like, okay, here's our yearly trip to Florida to see Nan and Binky. And walking out of the Fort Lauderdale airport, it smells so good. I don't know what it is, but I want to
follow
it.
It's like musty. Like, I've mainly been in Orlando, and it's just like a musty, humid, maybe it's, weird.
Maybe it's Fort Lauderdale. Maybe they got something special going on over there. I don't know.
What does Nova Scotia smell like, Haley? Or Halifax
ocean,
specifically, I suppose.
Actually, okay.
Of course.
It's kind of nice. It's not too stinky here. It smells pretty good.
All right. Hey, not too stinky. Not too stinky.
That's our tourism board. Too stinky? What is it?
I think... For, like, cities, like Kyoto probably would be the answer.
I bet that's
what it smells like.
Beautiful trees. No, it's just nice. Like, I really love Tokyo, but like getting outside of Tokyo and going to Kyoto, it's like, oh, it's just cool to. It just felt so peaceful and clean. I really loved it.
I drove down to Bonnaroo from Ohio one year, and you kind of go through Nashville. I think you get close to Chattanooga. But I think we were driving through Nashville, and like the surrounding area definitely like smelled really nice. But even actually going through Nashville a little bit, we went through the town. It's like you could still get like the sweet smell of all like the fruit trees around the area or something like that. It just smelled so crisp and so clean and so nice. There's like, you still get a little bit of, like the Appalachian Mountains there, which I think helps like crystallize the air or something like that. That definitely sticks in my memory quite a bit.
Seattle, there's a lot of trees and the ocean. Ooh,
yeah, that's a great one. Yeah. Pine trees. Yeah, that's perfect. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like Seattle. All right. Well, let's finish up with the only way we can, and that's being weirder than Annette.
Late to this, but in regards to Annette, I remember the first time we saw that movie, me and my wife, we were stoned out of our fucking minds. And we couldn't tell if it was good or not, and I think I like it. But the director did another movie called Holy Motors, which might be even more insane. And I implore that you guys check that movie out. I don't know if it's good, but it's so fucking weird. It might be weirder than Annette. You guys have a great day. Bye.
Couple goals.
All right.
I've heard people talk about Holy Motors before. I've never seen it, though, so... I guess that's the call to action there. I'll check it out. Dan, you haven't seen that? You haven't tracked it down or anything?
Yeah, it sounds like a film in 40s.
Yeah, okay. Seems like a good time. I can't, like, weirder than Annette, what could that possibly mean? Like, more puppets?
It's not just the puppets that makes Annette weird.
I know, but like it's weirder than Annette. Like, so you got, is it just more of everything?
Holy Motors and weird, and I think of that. I saw that Titan movie where the lady has sexual relations with a car, and that's what that makes me think of.
I don't know. If you just look at Holy Motors movie on Google Images, it's working with some material here. It looks like a leprechaun by a sewer. Seems pretty solid.
That's where they
Oh, what the fuck? Okay, yeah.
Eating some roses?
Yeah, a weird mask lady.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Kylie Minogue and Eva Mendes?
Sure.
All right.
All right, I'll watch this.
There's her, everybody.
It looks real weird, yeah.
Yep. All
right.
Is it a musical?
It doesn't seem like really it. Weird. Hey, I see a bunch of guys in formation with accordions, so I'm going to guess
it's a surrealist fantasy drama, no musical.
Perfect.
Okay.
All I hear is money, money, money.
Uh-huh. This is where the big bucks are at. All right. You guys have anything in your lives that are weirder than Annette or Holy Motors? You guys have any recommendations before we get out of here?
Talking to Chad or us?
You.
What's weirder than Annette? Haley, what do you got? It's got to be something up there.
Leo and I are doing Red Dead Redemption roleplay streams that are pretty fucking fun. Like we just keep stumbling into the most amazing nonsense. He got kidnapped. I had to find him. And what's so fun about that game is you can't just look on the map and see where your buddy is. He had to send me a letter in post. I received it and it said, "I'm somewhere in Hennigan-stead, I think." And I had to ride to Hennigan-stead and yell his character name, Pelon, trying to find him. It was it's so fun.
But you managed to find him on the map for Red Dead 2?
Yeah, and then I, by mistake, didn't turn Whisper on and was talking very loudly and was like, "I think we need to run out of here. I think we need to get the hell out of here." And then the like kidnappers came over, like, "We can hear you." And we're like, "Duh." I had to vamp and come up with something to pretend that we were just kidding. It's been really fun.
Is that look, this is a dork-friendly space, right? Giant Bomb, yeah. You guys like dorks there?
No.
We beat them. We give them wedgies.
Yeah. No, but like, do you feel yourself getting carried away? Do you feel like you're actually fulfilling a fantasy by role playing in Red Dead? Because like, I feel like if it's not tongue in cheek and you actually leaned into it, like, I think it would be really satisfying.
It's so fun. I grew up playing dolls with my sister, and it's very much same energy. It's,
right.
It's, it's improv comedy based off what the other person, it's yes and comedy, but you're just right. in this interesting digital world where other people are, and there'll be people who come up who are bad at it, obviously, like sometimes Leo and I are like, anyways, let's go over here, and we'll just like try to change the subject. But when you come up on people who are fun, like we rode up and there was three girls doing a synchronized dance, and we were like, can we learn how to dance from you? And we stayed there for 40 minutes and they taught us all the animations for dancing, but in the role play speak of like, time to learn the can-can, and then we just found the can-can animation and press at the same time. It's so
fun. So sweet.
Wow. Yeah,
that's neat.
It's very cool. And it's very fun that people take it serious to the point that they're still fun to be had. It's not like if you break a little rule you get kicked out. We found a pretty good server. I think there's some pretty strict servers where even if you say a computer word you're in trouble, but you say flex your whatever muscle. So if I'm like, how do I take out my torch? They'll say, flex your eye muscle. It just means press eye. That's how you like get away with it. There's a lot of really fun rules that you pick up on the more you do it.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a very good time. I'll check out that. I'll check that out. I'm going to watch some more role play streams. All right. We'll get out of here. You guys want to plug anything else for MinMax? Feel free to do so right now.
Yeah. The MinMax show is our flagship podcast. Everything's going on there. That's kind of the center of the hub. But then, yeah, the deepest dive is going on right now for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Again, it's a 5-part game club discussion. Given that game, the discussion it deserves. The first episode is out now on MinMax's YouTube channel, so you can check that out. And if you're a fan of Final Fantasy VII and you're eager for a very enthusiastic breakdown of everything about that game, you can check out the first episode and hopefully you stick around and join us for the rest, because we're collecting comments over on Patreon for everybody's thoughts. So let it be a dumping ground for all of your VII love out there. We'll take it all.
That's patreon.com/minmax.
Yeah, with two N's, I think.
Two N's, he thinks. For Ben, for Haley, for Dan Riker, Jeff Grubb, for Giant Bomb, and everybody else here, have a good one, everybody. Till next time, take care of yourself, and goodbye.